Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life mister, segment serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have my girl, your girl, Sarah Colonna. Welcome, girl.
I mean, it's just nice to see you and that you're okay. That was so scary. I know you already talked about this on, you know, on Tuesday with Justin.
Yes.
Who was there in person, who I called, by the way.
I know. And then when we were in the car going to the hospital, Drake's like, Sarah's texting you. I'm like, well, just write her back. Say, I'm going to the hospital. I'm okay.
Yeah. He said she's okay. Because I was like, are people making a joke on? I couldn't tell.
Because people DM'd you or what happened?
Someone messaged me and was like, I heard something happened to Heather. And then I sort of, you know, here and there I'm reading stuff and, you know, you never know.
Right.
I mean, because I told you, rumors really float around.
Tell me some of the juicy stuff you've heard about me because I kind of like to hear it.
Well, one of my favorites was that under a story, I don't know if it was TMZ or Entertainment. I mean, you definitely got a lot of press out of this. So
I still would have given up all the press to have done my shows and go golfing with my son the next day and not have to wear these sunglasses.
And not have to be in the hospital.
Yes.
And I know you well, and I know that you definitely didn't want to have to cancel a show that you literally just started that was sold out, and then you had another sold out show with people coming after.
Right.
But the underneath one story that I clicked on, it was like, well, she is a known cokehead. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, the one thing you're not.
The one thing I'm not, but kind of, like, I'm sort of, I'm a little bit flattered.
That you think a cokehead.
Yeah, that they think I'm a cokehead when I've actually never tried cocaine in my life. But
no,
like,
never.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. Like, I literally almost replied to it. And then I'm like, why am I going to reply to some stranger on Twitter that just is saying random things? I wanted to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, some of it, since we're just talking about mean comments, I mean, some of them that I like to, of course, focus on was God hates ugly. Because, well, you know, in what I said was, oh, Jesus loves me the most. And then I passed out after I listed my Vax card. And I was literally like, Jesus, like, I was asking Annie, I'm like, can we do a TikTok where then you make like a little like floating cartoon Jesus that just has like a flick mark? Like, I literally fell over right then.
It was insane timing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane timing.
I also didn't mention this to you. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, there's a woman who has a church, and her name's Mary, and I have delved a lot into the fact that I don't think she's a good church leader.
Okay.
I did a big show about it, and anywhere her Real Housewives tagline is, if you come for me, I'll send Jesus for you.
Oh.
Again.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. Just came down, flicked me over. So, yeah, a lot of people ask, do you think Mary sent Jesus for you? I'm like, possibly. I mean, I've never had better comedic timing in my fucking life. I mean, it was just kind of like, wow. Yeah.
Which is why I think the audience at first was kind of like, oh, is that like a setup thing? Or, you know, like until they see. But also, absolutely not. You didn't, I mean, you're a smart comedic actress, you would have broken your own fall if it was instead of going flat down on your head like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I feel like if Jesus flicked you over, he would have given you a softer landing. He wouldn't have been that
I
mad
know,
at you.
No, it's not Jesus, you guys. Jesus thinks I'm a hoot. Now, I'm going to show this. I want to share with you because it's wonderful. And this was done by, who is this? Scott Galletto, who is a Juicy Scooper and Juicy Scoop obsessed. He made a movie poster for me. And it says, from the executive producer of Predictions and The Toddler Jump, it's called The Fall. And it is, any comedian can bomb, but only one can take The Fall. And he made like a hilarious poster. And it's best actress I'm nominated, best feature film. And it's starring Heather McDonald, Drake Tobias, Justin Martindale coming this fall.
Yeah, and he's got the little.
It's so clever.
It's such a good poster. I actually saw that in the group this morning, and it really made me giggle.
You brought up something because you are here to talk Juicy Scoop, but also you have a show this weekend.
I do. I have shows in Plano, Texas, February 10th through the 12th at the House of Comedy in Texas. And you can get the tickets on SarahColonna.com. And I, you know, I realized that the same day or same weekend.
Yes.
Maybe it was the day before.
Yes. Okay.
About something Chelsea. Happened yeah. to Chelsea where she ended up in the hospital after a show.
Oh. Okay.
Now, you fell on stage and went to the hospital during a show.
Correct.
Things happen in threes. I assume I'm going to die on stage in Plano. So I say get your tickets if you want to.
You're playing three nights?
I'm playing three nights. I don't know which night I go down.
I would suggest buying the tickets earlier in the weekend just in case.
Yeah.
Then once those are sold out, then you'll have no choice to see the final shebang.
Right.
On Saturday.
I'm
sure you'll be fine.
I mean, I hope
that is
so,
pretty funny.
But yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's only progressively getting worse. Like yours was a, you know, full on head hit the stage thing. So I don't know if I'm going to go forward. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not.
Speaking of other comedians, I have a bone to pick with one comedian. Can you find me a photo of the Licorice Pizza? Sorry. Licorice Pizza is a movie that's out right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of posters for it. In and around Ventura Boulevard because it was filmed around here, mostly Sherman Oaks, Encino, and San Fernando Valley, like in the 70s. So I see the posters and I'm like, it just looked like a teenage film. I wasn't really interested. But your friend, Chris Frangiola, Annie witnessed him tell me to see this movie. Hmm. Said I'd like it. So it comes. We get the DVDs finally because now the Oscars are back. All of a sudden, we went to our P.O. box. We had like 20 things to see.
I know. Why do they keep sending DVDs though?
Just I know because the first links. I go, isn't it just a link? Anyway, we didn't even know where the DVD player was. We hook it up and we watch it. And it's going to pop right here. Okay. And, you know, here, it's Paul Thomas Anderson who did Boogie Nights. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Peter's like, do you want to watch this? I'm like, kind of tired, but it's 7. It's early enough to start a real movie.
Is this before or after the fall?
This is just last night.
Oh, okay. Because 7's a little late for you to be staying up.
I agree.
I want you to get more rest.
But Chris raved about it. I have to say, it's not for me.
Okay.
There were some things I really liked about it. I want people to just if you watch it, write
What's
in
it
let
about?
Me know.
Just tell me what it's
okay,
about.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it's about because it's freaking the weird. This is what I said to Peter in the morning. I said to Chris too. I go, listen. Obviously, this guy's an established like he didn't need to sell this movie to a studio, but anybody else would have to pitch a movie that they want money for. And I don't know how you'd pitch the movie. This is how you have to pitch it. Okay, if you're not a famous person.
Okay.
So I have this idea. It's in the 70s. It's in the valley when there's a gas shortage. So there's lines to get gas. Kind of an interesting time in history. I don't know how many people remember it. I barely remember it. Anyway, there's this guy and he's a kid actor. He's 15 and he's like gets bits parts in acting and he's got a single mother and a little brother. He meets this 25-year-old woman who's helping take his high school photos. He becomes obsessed with her. She lives at home with her parents who are realtors and they're Jewish and she's kind of like doesn't know what she wants to do with her life. He's absolutely in love with her, and she's kind of hanging out with him a lot. She's 25. He's 15. Okay? I have, like, a problem with this. All right? Okay. Then the kid who's 15 opens a waterbed store. How the fuck do you open a waterbed store?
Wait. If you're still supposed to be pitching it, so now you're critiquing your own pitch.
Oh, sorry. Let me switch back.
Worst pitch in the world.
Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Getting back to positive. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, this kid is such an outgoing kid. Even though he's in love with this woman who's 25, she's kind of a lost soul. He actually saves her because he opens his own waterbed store.
At 15?
On Ventura Boulevard. And he gets all these other little kids, including his 8-year-old brother, to work there. They start selling waterbeds, and so does the 25-year-old woman, in which she's walking around in a bikini trying to sell waterbeds. And she starts getting jealous because this guy who's they named his character, Gary Valentine.
Oh.
I know.
We know Gary Valentine.
He's the comedian brother of Kevin James.
Yeah.
Anyway, And they start to get together and not to get together, but she starts to get jealous that he now is like, because she's rebuffed him so many times, he starts to date and kiss girls his own age. She then gets into helping this guy run for mayor. So we think she likes the guy for mayor. Well, the guy for mayor, oh, I don't want to ruin the whole story for you. The point is, nothing happens.
Oh, God, yeah, let's make that movie. That's a great
coming
pitch.
Of age movie. In which really nothing happens. Then there's this weird thing.
Is there ever licorice?
Then there's Bradley Cooper in it.
Okay.
So you're like, yeah, oh my God, that's Bradley Cooper. And there's Sean Penn. But each of them only had like one or two scenes. Like, so it was another one of those formulas. Like, I got these guys to show up for a day. And now I have these big names in it. But I kept waiting, like, what's going to happen? Is someone going to try to like physically attack her? And then he comes.
And do they have a relationship in it?
In the end, they do. And there's no point where he celebrates his 18th.
Spoiler alert.
Who cares? Where he celebrates his 18th birthday.
No, I know.
Just think post-Me Too.
Yeah, no, this is one thing I
read about
it. How
can this not be addressed?
Thing I read about it, that there was like a 15 and a 25-year-old relationship. And I was like, that doesn't seem right. And then there's never any licorice or pizza.
No mention of a pizza place. Then he loses his waterbed place and he opens a pinball place. Still not pizza, not licorice.
Why is it called licorice pizza?
They never tell us why.
Okay. Well, I will say this. Two things.
Yes.
One, my husband was excited to see it as well.
Okay.
Due to Paul Thomas Anderson, all the things.
Right, yeah.
He went to see it when I was not in town.
Okay.
When I got back, he said, don't go see it. You won't like it. Now,
And you married the right person.
I did.
I'm glad you didn't marry Chris Frangiola.
No.
I'm honestly glad you didn't.
And I'll tell you what, Chris.
Because you've known him a long time. You guys could have ended up knocked up, gotten married, and you would have had to sit through this stupid movie.
No, Chris Frangiola, and I'll say this, and he's probably listening.
Yeah.
Tends to kind of have bad taste in movies.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A lot of times he raves about a movie and then you go see it and you're like, what the fuck? I think he was just excited to be out of the house that day. I think,
He stopped by himself in a movie theater.
He was by himself
in a
movie theater.
Got a cup of coffee.
It's his dream.
Yeah.
He just enjoyed the solitude.
Yeah.
And so whatever, it could have been anything on the screen.
He said when I called him this morning, I said, I have a bone to pick with you. And then he goes, I did worry for a minute, like, maybe I'm not. He goes, but I do have one that I do think you'll like.
Uh-oh.
West Side Story. And I said, well, my house is too straight for West Side Story. So I will see it with my sister. He goes, I think you'll like it with your sister. I'll see it with my sister.
Yeah, I feel like I'll like West Side Story. That just feels like a safe bet that we're all going to like West Side Story. And so I feel like he was taking a safe bet. I forget there was another movie that he suggested to John.
Yeah.
That Chris suggested to John, and John hated it. And so I just feel like his track record right now
is track record is horrible. I don't care. Listen, do not take his recommendations on movies. That's it. I hope he doesn't have a movie segment on his podcast.
Or a blog.
You should definitely kill that. But first, let's talk about the Tinder Swindler. 2-hour, one movie. Worth seeing.
Yeah.
Highly recommend on Netflix. And you saw it.
Yep.
I thought it was really, really good. It is about this guy who was on Tinder and he is Israeli, pretty cute. Mm-hmm. And he presented himself in his profile as being very international business, that he is the son of a billionaire of a big diamond industry that truly does exist. He said, I worked for this. So then the girl would Google it. And sure enough, this place existed. And he would.
But he never came up associated with it, right?
I think what we later learned is that he photoshopped himself with the parents. Because there was that photo of him on a cliff.
Right.
Like with two parents that looked like they're maybe like mid-50s. And, and also I thought, what billionaire son would put billionaire son in his Tinder profile?
Right.
I mean, you would definitely not do that because you don't want girls dating you just for your money.
Yeah, usually you'd be on like Raya or something, right? Like
yes.
One of those more exclusive ones. The only thing I never got clear on, and I don't know if it's just because every once in a while I'm watching a movie and I miss something.
Yeah.
I won't lie. Maybe I'm refilling my Chardonnay, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How did he fly around private in the like all the time with her?
So he only took, okay, so let me tell you guys a little bit. So this girl finds him on Tinder, and she's a pretty girl too. She's 31. She has a job. She does fine in life, okay? And she's like, wow, this guy seems kind of cool and would like to travel and this and that. They meet at a hotel. They have lunch or something or coffee, and he goes, why don't you come with me, you know, on a private jet to another country or something? Quick jaunt, though. It sounds like it was like maybe an hour or something flight on right. a private jet. So she goes, and you're asking how he paid for that. Well, we find out, you know, that he's not who he says he is. And the way he is paying for everything is how this always works with these. When I did the my podcast years ago on Serial Dater, where there was this paddleboarding divorced dad that these women throughout Manhattan Beach then found each other, is dating four women about the same time. And he would borrow money, ask for a loan or whatever from one, and then he would spend it on the next one.
Right. So basically,
so the way he hooks them,
the way he did it with her was the same. He had already done it with someone else, and that's how he was flying.
Yes. Okay, and the way right. this always works is when they hook you, they pay for like at least the two. At least everyone I've talked to, including myself, because I had a similar thing happen. The first 3 to 4 dates, they pay. They're super generous. They are generous. No, this was this guy that I met, and I've told the story before, so I'll just tell it quickly. I was at a Starbucks in Santa Monica on San Vicente, and I had like this a long time ago, so I was like listening to something with like the full ears on, okay, like headphones, whatever, for AirPods, and then I took it off, and this like really cute, charming guy with a New York accent, like. And he was like sleeved, but like he was wearing like nice clothes, like it was covered, but you could see the little bit of a tat, and dark haired. And he starts talking to me and super charming and gets my number. And then he leaves. And this girl's like, you weren't listening to what he was talking about with that other woman who I think works for him. But I was. And you should not go out with him. That's what this girl says to me.
Wow.
He's like, you know, involved in like some white collar crime or something. And I was like, well, whatever. We'll see if I hear from him. Well, he calls and he asks me out. So I'm like, sure, why not? I've got nothing to do. So he picks me up in his car and we go to a very nice restaurant like Ocean on like right there in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And he's AA, but all about me drinking and this and that. Make out with them, into him. He takes me out on like a couple other dates. And then he came to see me perform like in the small room at the Comedy Store or something. And I just realized after that, it really took a turn for the left. Anyway, he lived in this really nice apartment in Santa Monica, like a 3-bedroom, must have been even, this is like, you know, 23 years ago, must have still been like
yeah.
two grand plus a month, okay? Which would be like 5,000 now. And he's like, oh, I'm going to sell my story to Miramax, my life story. And I dated Beverly Johnson, the model, and like all these stories. And like when we were out, we'd go by like a beauty supply store or whatever. He's like, I need some shampoo. Do you need anything? Like being super generous. And then one day he called me and he's like, oh, my God, my car was stolen. And because of like this trouble I got in with like these white collar crimes, I have like awful credit. And I had bragged one day saying I had such great credit. So he's like, could you help me rent a car? So we go to like Enterprise and I rent him the car for the week. And he like goes, sign up for all the insurance. I don't want you to worry. I'm going to pay you back. So it's just like an average like Camry or Lexus or something. And then he gives me $500 right up front, cash, $500. But then a whole week goes by. And then he tells me he got in a car accident with it.
Come on.
Yeah. And now he's like not asking me out. He's kind of blowing me off and I'm starting to freak out. And I'm like, can we just return the car? Can we just return the car? Can we just? And then he's like, God, what the fuck is wrong with you? What did your dad do to you? Why are you so insecure? What's wrong with you? Oh, like all
my God,
that.
He's like this guy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's such a formula. And even when I interviewed the girls from the serial dater thing years ago on my show, it was a very similar. The minute they started to call him on it, it's like, what's wrong with you? How could you do this to me? I really cared about you. I trusted you. Like this whole like switch thing. So anyway, I got to the apartment. He started to scream at me. He's telling me he's a sociopath. I saw the little Enterprise things. He told me where the car was parked, like somewhere in Santa Monica. Got the keys, ran out, had my friend drive me to the car. The car was disgusting, like trash everywhere. So I'm like, you keep your place immaculate.
But you trash the thing I paid for.
Yes. Yeah. And like, you keep yourself immaculate. You know, anyway, my parents' friends lived in that same apartment building right across from the ocean, right there on in Santa Monica. And about 3 months later, he got evicted because he had never paid.
Oh, do you ever Google him?
I just remember his name was Craig. I have no idea what he told me what his last name was. I did run into him once, like on a date. He was on a date, and it was like 7 months later, and I like sat down and like bragged about how well I was doing. And
did you like?
Oh, and then when I returned the car, I owed. It was like, oh my God, it was maybe $1,600 or something.
Oh my God.
So with the $500 he gave me, so it was like $1,100 mistake on my part.
And obviously he never even got that money.
Oh my God, I was never going to try to even get it from him.
Did you even want to take the girl that like he was on a date with and be like, can you meet me in the bathroom so I can tell you?
No, and I'd heard from another friend that he had like a different, he was dating another, like, no, who knows? He was like 10 years older than I am. So, I mean, I would be shocked if he's alive or not in prison. I mean,
I wish we could remember his last name because I'd love to Google and find out if he ended up in like one of these kinds of stories because I bet he did.
Oh, I'm sure he was probably part of like the beginning of Match.com. But in this one, we'll talk a little bit about it more. Okay, so we're talking about the Tindler Swindler. I found it confusing that the two main people they were interviewing looked just alike.
I know. John and I were watching it together, and I was like, oh, it was taking me a second to switch back and forth between which one was which one. Both beautiful blondes, like, very similar looking.
And his MO was, after he would date this girl for a while, the first one that we really get her story in the beginning, there's this other girl, which I didn't realize. I had to, like, go back. I'm like, oh, they're platonic. He, like, they met on Tinder, but they never hooked up. And then he was like, oh, come meet my new girlfriend and, like, hang out and party. And what he would do is, like, I have the biggest favor to ask. These enemies, oh, they attacked my bodyguard.
Oh, yeah. So that guy ended up to be in on it, right?
Oh, definitely. Bodyguard, yeah. And so they attacked my bodyguard, and he'd send them photos of the bodyguard's bloody head.
Like bandages on his head. And
because I'm in this diamond industry, and they must be after me, and they're going to track my credit card, so I need you to get me a credit card or lend it to me or whatever, and I'll pay you right back. And even with this guy, Craig, in my situation, I remember after, even though he paid for all these nice meals and everything and was always like, I got it. Then he was supposed to meet my sister and I at, like, a restaurant, like, just on Montana. And I'm like, are you coming? And he's like, oh, my God, what did he say? I lost my wallet or something happened with this wallet. And I was like, well, who cares? Just come. Like, I'll pay for it. Like, don't worry about it. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. Da, da, da. So it's such a routine of, like, and with the serial dater guy that was the paddleboarder through all these women in Manhattan Beach, it was always that his older son took his car and his wallet was in the car now with the son. So can you give me $300? I have a business dinner. Can you pick up this? And it just starts like that. And now this guy's been so charming, so love bombing, so into you that you're like, of course, my God, you bought like five dinners. Of course I can get it.
Yeah. And especially in this one, because like he's showing, you know, these huge apartments in New York.
Yes.
Was it in New York? I think. Or I forget where the apartment.
Yeah.
Like, he's showing her these huge apartments, like letting her look at them. Like they're going to, you know, you just assume you're like this guy. Of course there's not going to be a problem with me, like, letting him take my credit card for this thing because he's a multimillionaire and
we're planning our lives together. Now it's like we're going to live together. I want to have your baby. Like, it's all – I mean, that's the thing about it. It's like they also get off on seeing you – believe that this is gonna that this is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like part of the scam is not just collecting the money, but it's like a Ponzi scheme of that they take the money from one woman and then they can go and party. I mean, that he was like spending it at nightclubs and
it's
everything.
Like her hard-earned money. I know. I kept side-eyeing John during this because I was like, what if you like did that to me? What if one day you're just like, oh, we actually need to take such and such out of your savings. And then all of a sudden I find out like we don't have any money.
Do you really think that's going to happen?
No, but
for,
I just
like 7 years.
Just told him not to do it.
I mean, it is weird. And then it's like they said right here, a Tinder swindler director admits she was initially cynical of victims. Well, of course, that's just like a girl, you know, presents herself in her best light. And it might be that she's super attractive. A guy that shows that he has some money and a career is attractive, too. That doesn't really make someone a gold digger because she's not trying to get her rent paid by him. But does she want to be with someone who's successful? Yes. That's what she thought she was getting.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. And especially like you meet on Tinder and you're not, you know, you're not on there looking for, you're not on billionaire.com. You're not on Sugar Mamas or Sugar Daddies or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you're
Seeking
just on
ranges,
Tinder
yeah.
and this guy happens to be the one that swipes left or right or whatever it is. And then you go, once he takes you somewhere on a private jet and takes you on a nice trip and it seems legit because it would be hard to get into a place of like, oh, I mean, I guess now we all would think it, but you know, at this time it would be hard to just assume like, oh, he must be faking it and he's probably using someone else's money and now he's going to steal mine. I mean, you'd have to be pretty cynical yourself to go to that place right away.
No, and I mean, if she didn't, and I totally saw why they both believed it, the platonic friend and the romantic girl. And then I thought the weirdest part was when on the first date, when they went on the jet, I guess he'd have to pay for that, you know, from some money. There was a woman there that was supposedly his baby mama with his child.
Right.
Who then she found out later was listed as a victim for when he went to prison before for this. That part, I was like, someone needs to do the research on that. So that woman obviously had his kid, was pissed at him. And help the prosecution.
But it really was his kid. See, that's the part I got confused.
Yeah, was it really his kid or was that just to add to his, like, legitimacy?
Yeah, and then because when she said that it turned out that this woman was, you know, a witness against him before, I'm like, so then she came back and decided to fake with him, like, to swindle another woman? Like, that part was really confusing.
Yeah, and... Yeah, exactly. Which is to continue that now she's part of it because she needs the money herself as a single mother. Like, so now she is part of like swindling, which has also happened in this. There was, I talked also about this, this guy in LA that was involved with a local news reporter and had her child. And there's all these lawsuits about him. And I had met him where he like, when I was at Chelsea Lately, where he was going to bring my space back and do like a stand-up comedy, like female, like pink ribbon month or something. I don't know. Anyway, he gets with this local news reporter and they have a child. And then he starts to get with these other women that now have claimed that he has swindled them. And there's all these lawsuits that are happening. Mm-hmm. And part of it is that they blame her too, the local news reporter, because they say like she presented him and let him drive her nice Range Rover and everything so that when he then went to swindle, like it helped.
So like she was in, like they think that she was benefiting, like
that
they were
she
splitting
might have been
it or
benefiting.
Something.
Yeah. And it's like all these lawsuits. I don't know where it is, but like I've talked to some of the people, like they've called me and, you know, but that's it too. Sometimes there's a woman part of it too, because they're like,
I mean, the one that probably got me the most was the platonic one, because I can almost see if you're getting the D from this guy and he's flying you around and he seems rich. First of all, if someone keeps saying my enemies are after me, just go ahead and assume that they're a liar, because that just seems like a weird way to present yourself. But the platonic one, because I'm like, okay, one of my platonic best friends is Chris Frangiola, right?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
If he forgot his wallet at like local peasant.
Or to go see Licorice Pizza.
Yeah, if he forgot his wallet to go see Licorice Pizza and he made me go see it with him, I would go to his house and knock on the door and get the money back afterwards. Because I'd be like, now you're home. Where's your wallet? No, but I would have, I'd get him some lunch or something.
Yes, yes. Or,
you know, but if he, all of a sudden he was like, I need $5,000 for such
but,
and such.
Okay, but this is why she did. Because all summer he treated her to the greatest summer of her life. So all summer he treated her to nightclubs, hotels, all that she never paid for.
With the other woman's money. Right.
Right. And so, and never made a move on her. And she had the greatest summer of her life.
Right.
And then when she borrowed the money, then when he borrowed the money, he borrowed like 40 or something and then sent her a check or a money grant or something for 100 or said, I'm sending you 100 in your Zelle account or something. 100,000. And she's like, oh my God, like you do not need to do this. You're such a sweetheart. And so then that bought him a little more time until that supposedly didn't go through and,
right.
you know, and then started getting suspicious. But I think that's why, because it's like my really rich friend that's treated to me to the time of my life, you know, is asking for the short little loan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean,
true.
I'm so glad this story
smart
came
about
out
doing
because,
it, I guess.
Okay, so now let's talk about where he is today, which is just crazy. So he's banned from the dating app, finally, thank God. He's definitely still out there at the end. You see that he is still has a girlfriend. Of course, they'll always get another girlfriend. The girlfriend won't believe the story. Mm-hmm. She's having a great time. These awful women are after him. He's, threatened to sue Netflix and the company, which good luck. You're not going to win. And, he's doing like his own Oprah masterclass, where he's charging people to like how to become like a great businessman. He's probably come up with a whole bunch of new ways to swindle. Because part of the thing was he would use cards that were never in his name. So
right.
he'd be like using your card or whatever. So he was never held responsible for the debts.
Right. He was never held responsible. But since they said that the one woman was like a witness against him before, he definitely was in trouble legally, at least that time.
Yeah, but I mean, he did like such a little time and
right.
is already out. And also, again, it's just a really hard crime to prosecute. And it's just not something that intrigues detectives,
but
like a murder or something, you know?
But if you're dating that guy now, if you're like whoever his new girlfriend is now, and all your friends are watching this movie, how, like, don't you think they're like, honey, no, like you don't. Like you have to date somebody else. It can't be him.
Wait, you be the girl. I'm going to be the new girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay. And you're my friend. And yeah. I have been bragging about my hot Israeli mm-hmm. boyfriend. You've seen us in every Gucci store in Europe and on the beaches. And we're just having a really great time. And I'm just finally found my match. Someone mm-hmm. finally gets me. Ling, ling.
Hey, girl.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, my God. What's his name again?
Simon.
Zev.
Simon?
Simon. Cy. I call him Cy. Mm-hmm. Cy and I, we just had the most delicious truffle-infused lunch.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
Everything was truffle, just right there at their hotel, like, overlooking the Red Sea. It's amazing.
That must have been expensive.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, he works for diamonds. So like we just are like.
He works for diamonds?
He's involved in a lot of different. He did have a diamond mm-hmm. background. Now it's just all these different like entrepreneurial things. And it's just like his mind just works so fast. This is so great to be with someone so fascinating and smart.
Can I ask you a quick question? Did he pay for dinner, for this truffle infused dinner?
Well, I mean, he pays for everything, but no, this one, because when we got there, there's just been this big issue because he's like doing this huge deal right now so that he had like, so I just put my card down for this hotel and charge the hotel.
Did he say anything about like, oh, enemies? Is that why he needed?
Yeah, there's a lot of enemies. Like there's a lot of people that just, you know, are out to get him because he's like good looking and charming. And like, he's a lot of crazy ex-girlfriends that are just fucking insane losers.
Right. So that's what I was going to ask you is because I've seen photos, you know, on your Instagram with him and stuff. And it's weird. He looks just like this guy on this Netflix documentary called The Tinder Swindler. And has he mentioned?
Okay, you know what, Sarah? Like, I thought you were my friend.
I am your friend. And
I hope you watch that with fucking two open eyes. because it's a full bullshit thing. Netflix is going to be gone in a year, okay? Because we are going to sue them so hardcore, and those two blondes that look alike are fucking bitches. Good luck ever getting a boyfriend. They're awful.
Well,
And now, you know what? Now, Sarah, I can't even count on you.
Well, I mean, just don't you feel like
that? Imagine someone doing a whole documentary about lies about you. What if they just said you really weren't a comedian? Like, how would you feel about that? That's what they're saying.
Some people do say that about me. you know, it's just that I don't you think that Netflix would have had to like sort of make sure that they could tell this story before they tell
Sarah,
they feel like
you know
they
what?
Have some lawyers.
Yes, I. Oh. We are.
Is he still going by Simon?
Yes. And we are madly in love. And I'm not going to have you burst my bubble, my love bubble, as Teresa Giudice would say. You're not going to do it. And I thought you were a friend. I was actually going to invite you to come out to Greece with us. But now I don't even know.
Well, who was going to pay for my plane ticket?
You were going to pay for all of ours because I was going to call you in a week and say that my credit card had been stolen by enemies. But now you won't get to enjoy that fun time.
I guess not.
So I hope you realize. Yeah, I think that's probably the kind of conversation she's going to have until someone, you know, really
until he takes money from her.
Yeah, until she, yeah.
And the first
there
time
was that other girl at the end, the brunette girl.
Yeah.
That did not realize until all this came out, until the articles came out, that who she was with.
I mean,
and she was like madly in love with him, wanted to marry him, and he was using her money, and she was like not at all worried until the articles came out. And then she took all his clothes to the real.
Well, I mean, that's the good thing actually about Netflix is like it is global. So hopefully, no matter where he goes now, someone will be like, that's the fucking
And then
Tinder
what about
swindler.
When he's like, I need to change my face? I need to like really change my face. And the plastic surgeon's like, no, because the only people that want to do this are criminals. Like, because you're pretty good looking. So why would you need like a whole new chin and nose and all this stuff?
How about just get a job and then stop doing this? Like, why don't you just get money? You just, instead of changing your face so you can continue, like the gig is up.
It's not up. He keeps doing, like, cause I think they get so used to the faking this lifestyle and like who they think they are entitled to be.
Who are his
And he's doing
actual
it since
parents?
He was like 16.
Who's his real parents? Do we ever see his parents in there?
It's been happening since he was like young.
I know, but I just wonder like who knows, you know, he's got to have some family somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's juicy though. You guys should watch it.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Vargas is a former Real Housewives of OC and she had a scary thing happen. She just texted me about it. It was in the news where Newport police came to her house and arrested this guy who was threatening her life with a gun. And basically, she met him. She told me she met him out one night at the bungalows, you know, over in Santa Monica, which is a pretty happening spot at the Fairmont, right?
Yeah.
That's in the Fairmont. And he presented himself like he's pretty good looking and he knew the liquor business and like she has this alcohol vodka, Vargas vodka that she's trying to launch. And so they start talking and all this stuff. And then he tried to extort her for money and a car. And you know, thank God her money manager, like that she was talking to, called the police. And then he came and just freaked out on her and her life was completely threatened. And thank God they arrested him.
That is so he was basically just starting to like take money from her, or was he trying to blackmail her with something?
Yeah, both, like all of it. Like just, And, you know, because he was pretty good looking and pretty charming, and he's probably done this to a ton of other women, and there probably a bunch of other women will come out. I mean, this story with Elizabeth, I think, is going to be a bigger story. I mean, because I'm like, this guy's cute. You met him at this, like, happening spot, L.A. You're not his first victim.
Yeah.
You've got to know. Like, there's going to be a ton.
There's going to be more people coming
out.
Yeah,
and that.
He's arrested, though, now.
He is arrested and behind bars. And, like, but, I mean, that it got escalated to him threatening her with a gun in his, that's the thing. Just like Dirty John, it escalates. It like might be one thing, and then it could get to as far as like murder. Like these people, It's just awful. You have to be so careful.
For, at first, it's just Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Yeah.
And then fucking... Who knows? It just keeps going. Yeah, that's terrifying.
Adele has, is supposedly, people think she's engaged. She went and performed in England somewhere and had a big diamond on her hand to, you know, Rich Paul, who's the sports agent guy. But still no report of when she's coming back to Vegas.
Well,
what are your thoughts, Sarah?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going on with her. Maybe
she's
just...
going to go easy on me, baby. Are you going to go easy on her?
I don't. I just don't understand what's go. I don't understand what's going on.
It's maybe one thing if she doesn't... had fainted on stage,
right? There you
canceled go. Canceled a show.
Yes,
but you know, I don't. I don't like the fact that I don't have a talking toilet on the stage like Katy Perry. So I'm going to cancel the show.
Well,
screw my boyfriend, get a diamond, and go to England and sing there. Doesn't seem very nice.
Right,
to
because
the
she canceled
Caesar Palace.
And now I'm getting my stories mixed up, but she canceled hers day of, right? Like literally that she was
literally
to
like
that night.
Like people were like
lined
on
up.
The plane,
yeah.
Flying to Vegas to go to show that night.
Now
yes,
that
it was
me,
less than 24 hours that she canceled that first opening night.
Yeah, that's obviously a health emergency. Sure, you can't do anything when you buy tickets to something. If someone's going to have a health emergency, you can't be mad at them
right.
for canceling. But if they just don't want to perform or they change their mind or something wasn't going right, then she could have just done whatever, even if it was just like an acoustic performance.
Right.
Or, I don't know, told some jokes. She could have, I mean,
she people, loves to like, talk. She like, loves... likes to tell little stories in between.
Yeah. Told some stories all night, given the people at least what they paid for that night, since it wasn't a health thing. And then... Or maybe she just really doesn't like Vegas. Maybe Josh Wolf threatened her because he just moved to Vegas and he's trying to get her residency.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But
or maybe
I mean,
she just missed her boyfriend.
I mean, I've said this was a dick whipped situation from day one.
For some reason, I really like that term.
New dick.
I don't know why.
New dick whip.
Yeah.
Just like, and in just being insecure, but you know, we'll see what happens with this one. We might get a great album out of it.
That's true.
And where she can sing about it, like of what exactly he did. Pamela and Tommy on Hulu.
Okay.
Three episodes in. I watched them all. As you guys know, this is Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. They fell in love in the mid-90s, got married within a week of knowing each other, had two baby boys, and this contractor stole a videotape from a, like,
safe.
Just the tape from the video camera. Like, it wasn't on the VHS.
Oh.
It was just on the tape. From a safe that he stole. He stole the whole safe out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then figured out a way to distribute it in the late 90s. And so it's Seth Rogen and... plays the disgruntled contractor.
Contractor.
Who else is it? And then, like, there's a couple other.
What's his name that's playing Tommy Lee? Sebastian. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is Lily James that's playing
yes.
Pamela Anderson. She's really good. She, like.
She is good. And
they both are.
She's beautiful. And it's like, I don't know. This is my initial thought. Like, I love their love.
Yeah.
I like that part of me. It's like, I want to see more of that. I get a little bored with some of the other stuff. Sometimes I feel like some of the scenes go a little long.
Yeah. Like, well, I feel like it's, you know, it's funny because it is funny, first of all, just to watch people
yeah.
be like, oh, you're never going to make money off of a sex tape. This is ridiculous.
What's
blah,
this
blah,
internet?
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
yeah. And what's the World Wide Web and all that
yeah.
stuff. But it's like, I know that they were like that wrapped up in each other.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there'll be scenes where she's at the dinner table and she's like, what's your dad's name?
I know.
Do you have a brother? Do you have a sister? And I'm like, okay, I get that they didn't know much about each other, but those we know is like, because these two aren't involved in the movie at all.
Right.
So the conversations between them are totally made up.
Right.
You know?
Someone scripted this out and it makes them look awful.
Yeah.
And obviously it's from the perspective of the disgruntled contractor.
But that part is true that he was... that Tommy Lee refused to pay him, and that's why
yeah.
he stole it. Like, I don't know about him coming at him with a gun or any.
Right,
I don't know which.
Right.
I don't know what's true and what's not. But that part is true. So they're running with that and really making Tommy Lee look like an asshole. And maybe he was. I don't know. I mean, at this point, you know, he's changed
right.
a lot over the years. Who knows? But Not that I'm best friends with him. I just
I just – well, Brittany Furlan is now his wife.
Yes.
And they've been together a few years and they're married. And I've had her on my show and she's funny and, you know, they're in
love.
Yeah,
she's
and
super funny.
I know that when she's come to do my show and everything, you know, yeah, this is a sensitive – I don't think she loves to see the Motley Crue movie and him be with, you know, character, someone playing him be in love with Heather Locklear and then be in love with Pamela Anderson. I mean, I don't think it's her favorite thing to talk about or watch. I don't know if she is watching it. But I have to say, if I was the boys, you know, it is kind of like I was just like, God, you guys really were conceived out of love. Like, you really, really were.
Yeah.
Like, there was definitely, like, a sexual attraction. And you saw it when we were living it in the 90s and saw them out in the tabloids and out at events, that they just kind of were this crazy in love couple, you
and
know?
I do, yeah, and I like that they even try to show that with, like, in the episodes where she doesn't get, like, her monologue gets cut from Baywatch.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, fuck that! You know, you deserve whatever you want to do, and you go in there and you tell them you want to do your monologue. Like,
yeah.
I love that, okay, he was trying to support her, because that's one, I feel like that's one of the big focal points of her story.
Yeah, yeah.
This is going to be that she really wanted to be taken seriously, and then this tape came out.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good point.
Like, it seems like that's for the last episode that aired. I don't know.
I mean,
that was released because they put out three at once, right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And the last one, it kind of took off where she was basically like, she stood up for herself and
how she respected Jane Fonda's career.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And which, by the way, I read for that scene, so I actually knew all the words for Gail.
So wait, you were the PR person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Didn't get it.
That would have been good.
I mean, maybe I should, like, straighten my hair or something. I feel like nobody ever takes me seriously when I go in with curly hair anymore. I don't know what it is, but I feel like they always think I need to look – like, I feel like – and that woman, she's great in the role, but she looks like a business – she looks like a businesswoman.
Will you consult me next time you have an audition?
Yes.
Because I do think that also this being mid-90s, that you're – this curly hair was not a mid-90s look.
Well, I had big curly hair in the 90s.
I wasn't the look then.
I feel like I pulled it back and tried to make myself look like more businessy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that's anti-curly hair. I don't think you can tell a lady she can't be a business lady with curly hair. This is my God-given natural hair with highlights.
The thing that always would make me happy when I wouldn't get a part, which happened 99.9% of the time, is when I would see who they would pick and they didn't remotely look like me.
Yeah.
So they went with a straight-haired brunette, which I would probably choose to just because Pam is blonde.
I know. And that was the
other
thing.
You're just too sexy blonde and cute for the part.
That's probably what it was.
100%.
There was another role, I won't say what it is, but recently I saw I was kind of bitter about it.
Yeah.
And then I saw who got it, and it was like a really good friend of one of the main actresses. And I was like, okay, like now I'm not, because I would try to get my friend a job too.
Yeah.
And the girl's like really talented and good in the role.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I would have tried to get my talented friend a role too.
Exactly.
So now I don't have to be bitter about it anymore. But usually I just stay bitter and then.
I remember Pamela was on Howard Stern. And they were no longer together, and the boys were, I don't know how old the boys were, maybe like 6 and 8 or something. And, you know, and she's like, oh, the boys are here. Or like, I remember her being interviewed with someone going, well, what are your, you know, when your parents are Pamela and Tommy Lee, like, how do you rebel against that when you grow up? Do you just become accountants? Like,
right.
what is it, you know? And, you know, I think it's Brandon was on The Hills. And
right.
I don't know what it's Brandon and Dylan, she's obviously a 90210 fan.
Oh, right. I was gonna
and I don't know what that, but like, you know, I think they led a pretty normal life in Malibu, and then like I don't know that they went to college, but like I just remember them. I just think it must be so interesting to be them, because I kind of feel like there's this resurgent, like on. Like with TikTok, a lot of people are like, you were raised by a Karen, but I was raised by, and then they'll show someone that looks like Pamela Anderson. Or they're like, there's young people, like 20-year-olds, like relishing in the fact that their parents were like hot in the 90s and hot for each other.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think there's something kind of like not at all to be embarrassed that your parents are Pamela and Tommy Lee. Like, even though this movie is out, I would hope that, I don't know, I got to ask Spencer Pratt if he's in touch with Brandon Lee, because I'm like, I would love to get their perspective. Is this super embarrassing? Are you watching it? Are you kind of loving it? I don't know.
I know. Well, because I feel like you can't be, I mean, you know, they're
it
both,
is what it is.
They're both
yeah.
awesome. And yes, yeah. like you said, conceived out of love, and they both yeah. have like amazing stories in different ways and all this stuff. And they're both right. like crazy successful. So, right. but it's the made up parts that must be where everyone's just guessing. Because yeah. some people don't think about that. Like, sometimes, you know, you get wrapped up in a show and you'll just be like, oh my God, I can't believe she asked him that or this. And it's like, it was just the two of them at dinner. Nobody has any idea what they had a conversation about, right? Like,
yeah.
Because they're not consulting. It's right. not like she's telling them, oh, we had this conversation. So
at dinner, yeah.
They just have to sort of embellish like what they think. And they're obviously kind of playing, making them both a little dumb.
Right.
Like, that's what they're going with.
Right.
When in reality, obviously, they both had to have been pretty smart to get where they are.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is. I totally agree. I like it. It's fun.
I enjoy Seth Rogen in it, actually.
Yeah, I think he's great.
He's
in
playing
it.
Something
yeah.
different, you know?
But it is interesting to see that, like, they really started the sex tape thing, you know? And it really was stolen. Yeah. And now I think we have some pretty good knowledge that allegedly, you know, Paris may have been more aware of her sex tape getting out, you know, and the preceding ones.
Right.
So it's like, but theirs really was stolen. And then the ones
like
that
out
tried
of their,
to put
out of their fucking garage.
Yeah.
Like.
And then with the other people that are that did it after to profit, that was part of their, you know, oh my God, how did this happen?
Yeah.
You know, but at least let me make some money off of it. So, yeah.
You know the scene where he, like, really wants a waterbed?
Yeah.
Do you think that he got it from that waterbed store from Licorice Pizza? It's around the same time, isn't it?
No! Licorice Pizza was supposed to be in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, waterbeds were already out by the mid-90s. I know. You know, I remember I went to an open house of Tommy Lee and Heather Locklear's, which was in Westchester County, this gated community right by my house. And this is when they were married. And My mom was like, do you want to go to this open house? You know, and I'm like, oh my God, we got Heather Locklear, you know? And I just went into her closet, and it was just all these bejeweled and bedazzled bustiers in the closet and leather skirts and stuff. Like, all her clothes were there. Like, you yeah. never would have that today. And then the creme de la creme, I went around the corner. She had her own tanning bed in
Stop
the
it.
House.
Stop.
Yes. And I was like, the opulence
oh
of
my
owning
God.
Your own tanning bed.
And that used to be a thing. That was, I remember, that's right. That's like, you would hear that famous people had
yeah.
their tanning bed in their house. And now yeah. they're all getting their skin cancer burned off in the local dermatologist's office. But at the time, we didn't know that.
And, you know, they said skinny brows are coming back. And I wonder, like, she looks so pretty with her skinny brows. I wonder if that'll be, like, a little bit of an inspiration. Because I remember when I would tweeze my brows, in the 90s, I was like, oh, that Pamela Anderson, like,
yeah.
brow. And she had such a perfect smile and perfect non-enhanced lips, but very full, perfect. She had the most perfect smile.
I tweezed mine to they look like McDonald's arches. Like, they were just thin, kind of like this.
Yeah.
I mean, they're finally growing back a little. I keep using stuff, but this is what. Now, her eyebrows, Lily's, aren't really that thin, right? Do you think that's probably just makeup, though, to covering up to make it look like.
I think they had to tweeze them that way. You can't, like,
really?
Do a film. She's not a drag queen where they, like, cover them and draw them above.
I don't know, because they don't grow back eyebrows.
I think that you
so,
either
yeah,
want
look
the
at
part
her eyebrows
or you don't.
In real. Like, look at that. There's no way she got rid of those eyebrows.
I think
for
she
them.
Did for a part. I think she did for a part. Well, I'll ask her when I see her.
Please do. I think they just like did
but
some
that's
heavy
on,
makeup
that's
on covering
that's on Hulu,
it.
And I like it. And I say you guys watch it. This was funny. This was a joke that came up, but it took me a minute to realize it was a joke. It was out of Sex and the City. What is it? Every outfit on Sex and the City on Instagram. But they made like a fake thing and they said, widely anticipated Che Diaz series drops amid allegations of toxic behavior. Crew members released joint statements that comedian and podcaster routinely insulted them using pre-recorded catchphrase buttons. And I was like, wait, I actually thought like maybe her character was getting a spinoff. And then it was like all like when you just like, because I do say I live like in a world that I actually believe like as if Che Diaz got a pilot and I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I know you aren't.
I think
watching.
We all do at this point. Yeah, I know, but I know more about her. I don't even watch the show, and I feel like she's the most famous comedian in the world.
Well, she gets a pilot. Okay, I'm just going to tell you the end of the season. She brings Miranda to meet her parents, and Miranda's like, "I get to meet their parents tonight," you know, and so she goes and meets the parents, and then Che is like, "Sit right here, Miranda. Show's, you know, it's about to start." What's about to start? What's about to start? And she gets up there, and she's got a full band. And she's like, don't worry. I'm not going to do my stand-up. And everyone's like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, okay, if you're that big of a stand-up, wouldn't you kind of be like looking forward to the stand-up? And then she starts singing, "I wish they all could be California girls." She sings this whole song, and everyone's like, and Miranda's like, "What? I don't understand what's happening. And she's like, well, guys, this is my way of telling you, you're Che. She couldn't say you're a girl because she's not a girl. She goes, "Che is moving to California. That's right. I sold a pilot." So she tells Miranda.
But what is the setting they're in?
Like a bar.
Oh, okay.
Like a restaurant bar situation. Okay. And Miranda's like, and she doesn't know what to do. And she's like, "But I want you to come with me, Miranda." And lucky for Miranda, Brady and his girlfriend are going to continue to bone through Europe. They're going to backpack and bone through Europe. So they're leaving. So her duties of being a mom are done.
Okay.
But she just got this internship with the Social Justice Center or something. And she tells her professor that she's going to follow love to be with Che and watch the pilot taping. And she's like, "Wow, but this internship was so hard to get." I'm like, "Internship? You're 55. What internship? You were a working lawyer for 30 years.
Internship. What?
You're going to take an unpaid internship as an attorney that's been practicing for 30 years? Like, and also, yeah, go to the pilot. Who cares? Yeah.
But also, hasn't anyone told Che that like you it takes maybe a couple weeks to film the pilot and then you can go back? Like, why are they moving?
I think she's moving for like a couple months to film the pilot. And she said, Tony Danza is going to be my father. You know, it's going to be about Che's life being this non-binary, hilarious person that, you know, everyone loves.
I mean, but you don't have to move for that. You could just go and stay.
There's a lot of things she has to do. And one is she has to tell Bobby Lee and Sarah. Well, no,
wait, Miranda or
no, Bobby, no, Che Diaz.
Okay.
Has to tell Bobby Lee.
Okay.
You know Bobby Lee?
I do.
He is on Che's podcast, Hit Podcast.
Right. I heard that. That's
X, hilarious. Y, and me.
Yeah.
And she has to tell Carrie, character of Carrie, Sarah Jessica Parker, that, guys, sold a pilot, can't do the podcast anymore. And everybody's like, "You could though. Like, not only is there Zoom, but you could also bank a few. You don't talk about topical shit. Like, you could have just done like four in a row, and then
I feel like Che Diaz is really getting ahead of themselves here, not realizing that you can do your podcast. I mean, my podcast co-host lives in Philadelphia, and I don't have Che Diaz's career.
No,
we still make
no
it
one
work.
Has Che Diaz's career. Che Diaz then. Now, tell me you're not going to be a little bitter if you're Carrie, the real person, Carrie, okay?
Yeah.
I've written 3 books. I've had a hit thing. Nobody ever wanted to do a pilot about me?
Mm-mm. No.
Nobody ever asked to do a pilot about Carrie, okay? And this chick does one comedy concert I have to stand up for, and she gets I would have liked to have seen Carrie be like, fuck, you know? So then in the end, Carrie gets her own podcast. And they think that you're going to do your own and you're going to do sex.
What happens to Bobby Lee?
Bobby Lee, we're never going to see him again.
That's not right. Bobby deserves.
Married.
Why can't he be on Carrie's podcast?
They had no chemistry. Bobby Lee needs to go. He can have his own podcast too. Bobby Lee gets married and whatever. And then the hot guy that produces the podcast is like, Carrie, I'd really love to produce your podcast. And I think you're so great. You're so, so great with advice. And
can I be honest about something?
Yes, please.
I'm so glad I don't watch this. It sounds fucking terrible.
It's all horrible. It's horrible. And you know the saddest part about me watching
it? And I'm sorry to everyone in it because I appreciate a show and everyone that gets to work on it. And if they asked me to be in it, I'd hope I was. But it sounds like these storylines sound infuriating.
I have something. I was extremely depressed at the final episode, okay, which a lot of people were happy with. They loved it. I didn't. Because you know, when they say, I don't know if you've ever heard like a marriage therapist or somebody say, you know, a couple is okay if they're fighting because at least they care. There's at least some passion. I know the couple's going to get divorced when they just are indifferent. I fell out of passion with hating this show. Mm. I came to a place. I felt nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
Wow.
I'm like, I can't hate Che Diaz's shitty podcast anymore. She might leave the show. If it comes back, I'm assuming she's going to catch Che having an affair and then Miranda's going to come back and just be like dating with the rest of them. I don't think.
No, they're not going to have Miranda leave the show.
No, I think Che's done. That's what I personally think, which is fine. But right now I'm like, I don't know that I hate this show enough to, because I don't like it.
Well,
so I'm like, to get passionate about it.
This is what they need to hear, though. This is what everyone making this show needs to hear. They need to hear that you, Heather McDonald, are now indifferent because that it's love it and hate it. Because people hate watch stuff all the time, including myself. So if you love it or hate it, you're watching it. But if you just feel nothing, if you went dead inside.
I went dead.
Maybe
and
that's why you fainted.
They didn't have a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah for Charlotte's genetically born daughter that is now identifying as a they them as well.
Okay.
They had it a they mitzvah, and they found a transgender rabbi to do it, and they got all this food, and they let her wear a like a Paula Poundstone kind of suit. Remember Paula Poundstone?
Fuck yeah, I love.
Or like
I wish
or
I
like the
like
mask, Jim Carrey and mask.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's wearing like an orange version of that. That's what she's going to wear. Or that is what Rock is going to wear. She went from Rose to Rock at her they mitzvah. And then after they spent all the money on it, Rock tells Charlotte, I don't believe in being a Jew either. I don't believe in being a girl, which you've accepted, but I also don't believe in being a Jew. So then Charlotte gets bar mitzvahed.
What?
Because she converted to Judaism, but never had a bar mitzvah.
Oh, so she takes over and has the bar mitzvah.
Yeah, so she's a woman now. And then but then at the very end, they are doing the podcast, and the caller asks a question. I want you to ask any kind of love advice question, and I'm going to answer it based on how they showed Carrie answer this one last question, the kind of advice she'll give. Go. Just ask me anything.
Okay. What would you say is the best thing that you learned in 2021?
Wow. Sarah, thank you for calling into the podcast. We take live callers all the time on a taped podcast. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know anything. I'm just a woman who loved and whose husband died. So what comes tomorrow, I don't know. I would just say to try to embrace it. And thank you for listening to the first episode of Sex in the City.
That's it? That's the end?
That's the end. And everyone's excited because she made the title Sex in the City and not Sex and the City. Like she changed it like one word, but
it feels like they really tried to pack way
she,
too much into
and then
the
she
show
makes out,
that I don't understand.
Then she makes out with the podcast producer in the elevator.
And then he gets on a Peloton and dies. Or he gets on a Nordic track and dies. Big twist.
But I'm like, that's awful advice. Like, you got to give – the girl asked a specific question, but it was something like I don't know what I should do about this guy. I mean, he's my fiance.
And
but
she's like, I don't know what I know
and
anymore.
And she's like, what do I know? What kind of advice
can I give?
Well,
then don't have a fucking advice podcast.
I know.
If you're not going to give advice. The whole point is I called for advice.
Anyway,
you can just say it's a podcast without advice.
Everybody's talking about the show, Adults Adopting Adults, okay? You and I have not watched it, but we are aware of what the show is about. Mm-hmm. And
it's all in the title.
There are some different groups of people that they follow. And one group that's getting a lot of heat is this couple that's adopting this younger girl who I think is pregnant. And the man, they're like in their maybe mid to late 50s, and the man's like, yeah, I mean, I cheated on my wife in the past. I'm not proud of it. I could see myself finding myself sexually attracted to our daughter that we're adopting. So they're adopting some girl from a different country who's also pregnant, but she's an adult. And then there was this other girl that I saw who was adopted as a child from another country, but is not close to her mother in America. And so she met a couple that want to adopt her, and she has a child too.
Well, I also read.
Yeah.
Oh, so they have to adopt her and the child then.
No, but I'm just saying by adopt, they're like instant grandchild parents then. So it's kind of like.
I mean, at least you can skip some steps, I guess.
I mean, the only.
Save a few Christmases.
The only thing I was thinking when I first heard about it, I'm like, I can kind of see. I think it's a great concept for a show, but I can kind of see why it would work for a certain type of person. Like if you are. Maybe you and your husband are together, or maybe you're just a complete single woman. You have no nieces, no nephews, no one to leave your money to except like a cat or a charity. And you're at work or something, and you really connect with a young woman who is estranged from her parents or doesn't have parents. And you're like, you know what? We spent the last three holidays together. I love your child. I'm 60 years old. Let me adopt you and let's really make a commitment to be a family, and I will support you and I'll be the grandma. And like now you have a grandma and you also have a little bit of financial something. And I know that when I die, like it's going to someone I really care about. It's not going to just go to.
You can also just put that in your will without having to.
Officially adopt. Now I wonder, that's what I kind of wonder about the paperwork thing. That then does that put you at risk almost like. Is it like a prenup where you get married to someone and you're like, well, if I stay 5 years, I get 2 years of alimony. If I stay 10, I get 7 years of alimony. Like, what kind of thing happens as adoption? Because is the kid going to have any way to, like, sue you because you adopted them as an adult? Like, if you decide they are assholes, if they're treating you badly, or they skip two Christmases in a row, you're like, I don't want to be your parent anymore. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that would all just be whatever is in your will. I don't know. I guess you could write them out at any time, no matter what. But I did read that one woman, like, befriended and was really close to, I don't think she adopted her, but, like, an adult, you know, it was a student maybe of hers. Uh-huh. And her ex-husband had sex with that girl. And so now she's actually going to adopt like a 23-year-old, and she's worried that her new husband is going to do the same thing. And I'm like, what? I mean, just don't marry fucking creepers. Is that like, or are you marrying someone that you think would bang your adopted daughter? That's a problem.
Wait, hold on.
Yes.
So the first girl that her first husband cheated with, she didn't adopt, but she saw her like a daughter.
That's what I read.
And now she's going full.
Correct
now
me,
she's going
I'm sure,
to full.
But I didn't
so now
see
she's
it.
Going to. Actually go through the final adoption with her new husband, but she is afraid.
She's a little nervous about it. Yeah. I mean, this is what I read, and it was a quick recap, and that is what I read. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but that's what I read, and it was definitely that she's – it's one husband has already done this to her, and now she's worried about it happening again.
Why,
and I believe it's
how about
husband.
When you are interviewing potential daughters to adopt, you say, hey, quick question – are you into men over 57 that are creepers?
Yeah.
Do they turn you on? And if they say yes, then that's not who you should adopt.
No,
because
or
that's
just
who
adopt
you're
a lesbian. If you're married to a man, then just adopt a lesbian who
100%.
Would have no interest in banging your creepy husband that you're worried about.
So, yes.
I mean, that puts a whole new twist in weird things, worrying about that.
I think there'd be a big market for wanting to adopt a gay son.
Well, because you do. Right?
I would adopt a gay son, especially I mean, then they get married and then you have then they have a boyfriend or a significant other. Then you end up having two sons that want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And then they get a baby somehow. Then you don't have to worry about anybody coming along that wants to bone them.
No. I mean, the bonus of maybe adopting an adult is never having to go through. Like, I've never wanted a child. So right. Then you would never have to do that. But then you would have, like you said, sometimes John and I are like who's going to take care of us when we get old? If we start to fall apart at the same time.
And so he's like, now you're looking now.
Well, maybe. Now I'm thinking about it. And John's super, he's not a creeper, so that I know that yeah. I could, whoever I adopt, that he wouldn't creep on. Because we are the people that only have a cat, like you said. But we have a lot of nieces and nephews.
That's what I'm saying. You have a lot of nieces and nephews. And so it's like, that's why I think it would only really work if you really had no other, like, you really had no other family.
And you really felt in your heart, like, gosh, I wish, like, if you got a little older and were like, you know what? I never had a child. I really want one.
Or I really want to experience that grandparent life.
Yeah. And there's that 30-year-old.
That pregnant 30-year-old looks real good to me right now.
She'll take care of me. She'll make me coffee in the morning. I'll give her a place to live. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like you're getting a roommate. To me, is what it sounds like. And that sounds annoying.
Oh, because these, I don't know. Are they moving in, these people?
That's I don't know. I just assume.
The other person on it is that weird prince guy that was married to like Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Oh.
That old guy, he's on it and he's adopting some young guy.
Oh, he's on the show.
Yes.
I saw a story about that, but I didn't realize it was because he's on the show.
He's on the show. Yeah. This is juicy. This Oregon governor frontrunner, he admitted that he and his wife were part of a swingers group after a Facebook leak.
Oh.
So he was a Republican running for governor, and someone's like, they're part of this Facebook swinging group. And he's like, yeah, we are.
Look at the I like the witty title here. Oregon is not traditionally considered a swing state.
Clever too fab.
That's a good one.
That's clever.
I mean, whatever. If they want to be swingers, they can be swingers. It shouldn't have anything to do with this politics, right?
No.
Like, whatever.
I don't know why you have to, like, share that.
I mean, it's different when it's, like,
I don't think it's going to help him become governor, but.
No. I mean, but it's always like, yeah, if somebody votes against certain things, like if they're anti-abortion and then it turns out they had, you know, paid for abortions, then I see, you know, but this is just.
Also, I didn't know that it was.
Unless he's voted against swinging.
Also, I didn't really think that Oregon was a big swinging state for swinging. I really didn't because I always say I think swinging kind of flourishes in like warmer environments. Like a Florida.
I mean, it does make sense.
It totally makes sense. Like you're bodybuilding, you're barely wearing anything. It's like you don't have a lot of things to take off when you get together.
But why not if you're, I mean, but if you live in like, you know, even, I mean, people get horny in cold climates too.
The best thing about Oregon is the no sales tax.
Yeah, well, so there's, you know.
Go shop and go swing.
Yeah, they can get their, butt plugs for without sales tax. Just kidding. I don't know why I think they use butt plugs. They definitely don't.
But I mean,
they do.
Like,
I don't know.
That would be weird. Like you're like at a swinger party and you're like, oh my God, there's the governor. Like I just want to ask him about this policy.
Well, that's the thing. You can't then still usually part, like you still can't participate in the groups once you're governor, right? Because like what if you and Peter go to a swinger party and then you run into Gavin Newsom and he's not wearing a mask?
Oh, I'd kill him. I would fucking kill him. Kylie had her baby. She had a boy, Kylie Jenner.
Oh, that's
right. We don't know the name yet. I don't know what we're waiting for. Anyway, this was pretty juicy. A nun was sentenced to a year in prison for stealing $835,000 from her Torrance Elementary School, where she was the principal.
Mm.
She was 80.
Okay.
And she took money that was spent, supposed to be towards tuition and stuff, and took her girlfriends on trips to Vegas and Reno.
She's like Lake Tahoe. She's the nun swindler. She's basically that. So she stole it from an elementary school, though.
The one that she was the principal of. And now, they take a vow of poverty.
Yeah.
And then all their expenses are paid for. Like, they live at the school in a convent. And so, you know, and then she's going to Vegas every weekend. You know, nuns gone wild.
Did she take other nuns with her?
She said friends, but originally when the story broke, I thought it was two nuns that got in trouble. I think one nun might have been in on it, but she was like the ringleader.
Write this as like a buddy comedy with me and you?
Yes. I mean, come on. I want to know who she's betting on for the Super Bowl, because she clearly horrible. Some of the parents were really, really mad and wanted to see her do more time. I'm shocked that she only got 1 year. I kind of don't think that's enough, because I think she'd be an asset in a prison. Like, she can, you know, preach and like help women.
Yeah.
So like, I definitely think she should be in prison a little bit longer. And
well, maybe that's how she's getting out earlier, is doing some sort of like community service type stuff in the, you know, in
maybe
like leading, yeah, you know, or something like that. Don't they have like services and she can...
I mean, the nuns are so, the way they talk about like their life and like how hard it is, you know, and the nuns at like my school, they were all Irish, and they'd be like, in Ireland, we do this. In Ireland, the kids are way advanced in math than you are. And I was like, God, go back to Ireland, bitch. Like, it's just so righteous and just, you know, and don't roll your eyes up to heaven at me, Miss McDonald. And so I'm just like imagining, and now you're taking my money, like...
After you yelled at me?
Yeah. So you can, like, rip it in Vegas? And the thing is, like, these kind of nuns, they don't look like nuns from, like, you know, movies. They don't have, like, habits and stuff. They're just wearing, like, a dorky
conservative
outfit.
Conservative clothing. And then until they, you don't know what they're packing to go to Vegas, though.
Yeah. What are you doing for Super Bowl? It's a big day for you guys.
Just going to go to my friend's house. It's like the one day a year that John and I both get to wear our Super Bowl rings.
Oh, okay.
Like, he, you know, he can wear it there. He wears it to like events, maybe.
Because he has two, so then he lets you wear one.
No, he has one because they lost the second one that he played in. But he got me like the top of the Super Bowl ring as a necklace.
Oh, okay.
So at their Super Bowl, at their ring ceremony, you could go, their rings were made by Tiffany's, and you could go up and you could order necklaces for your wife or whatever. He got me and his mom one. Aww. And his sisters. And then he got his brother like the replica ring.
Oh,
so basically,
God,
it's the same ring,
so nice.
Except it doesn't have like his number and, you know, as much, and probably less diamonds or whatever.
Who are you rooting for?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, I guess the Rams, because it's here and it's home. What are you looking at me like that? I should be rooting for the Rams?
100%.
Well, it would be fun to see them win, but like, I'm not committed to either team. So the Bengals, you know,
I'm sorry,
were
like
scrappy.
You lived here for a really long time. I think you.
Well, the Rams
the
have only
something.
Been here a couple years. But granted, they were here before. So when they originated in LA, and my dad used to cover the Rams when he worked for the Orange County Register and for the LA Times. So yes, go Rams. Whose house? Rams house. That's what they say. See, I'm a big Rams fan.
All right.
I just want it to be a good game.
I'm sure it'll be a blast.
But Cincinnati's a nice city, and they fought their way in. So I just think
it'll
be a
good game. Happy for
everybody. But I would like to see LA win, because it'd be fun, and especially at home.
Yeah, yeah. I hope. And also, I feel like when we win stuff, we don't go crazy. Like, I just don't want to win and then have a riot because we're so happy. That always sucks. Like, why are they destroying stuff? They won.
Or what was it, the when poor guy in Philadelphia like caught on camera like eating like horse poop after the Super Bowl win? Remember that? People just get really drunk and do like really dumb things. That's what.
Oh
they
my
don't ride,
god!
They
that
just do
that
dumb
was
things.
The worst.
Yeah.
I want to barf right now thinking.
I know.
See the video still.
And
in
poor
my
guy
head.
Is going to live for the rest of his life being like, I was so drunk and I don't know what I was thinking, but I definitely didn't want to do that. And now it's on video forever. So
and Sarah Colonna just brought it up on Juicy Scoop. Yeah. I thought it was over with. Sarah, everyone's going to come to see you in Texas this weekend. Tell them again.
Yeah, come to see me in Plano. Hopefully, I make it through the whole weekend. Plano, Texas, House of Comedy, sarahcolonna.com.
Yes.
Get your tickets.
Please. Absolutely. And and then I'm going to be at the Brea Improv, you guys, 25th, 26th, and a live Juicy Scoop on the 27th. Are you going to come to the live Juicy Scoop? Chris and Justin have committed.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
So
February
that's
27th?
Sunday, the 27th.
I'll be there.
And March 27th at the Brea. And then I'm going to be doing my shows And Tempe, the ones that I missed, I will be back there April 9th. And everything is there on heathermcdonald.net as well.
Can I say one more
thing?
Yes, please. We brought up the Super Bowl.
Yes.
If you are going to a stadium event,
yes,
concert or games, go to clutchwomen.com for my line of stadium compliant bags. Juicy Scoopers always get 20% off with code Juicy Scoop, all lowercase.
Or a comedy concert.
Or if you go to a comedy concert, remember they had to use them at the improvs or the punchlines.
Well, they look really cute, too, yeah, with anything, wherever you go. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, girl. I'm glad you're alive.
Thank you.